grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 8th chapter of St. John, the 47th verse, the translation from the New English Bible. Jesus said, "He who has God for his Father listens to the words of God. You are not God's children. That is why you do not listen." A number of years ago, when I was living in Boston, a cousin who'd once been very close to my father came for a visit. It was all very enjoyable, not least because I hadn't seen my cousin in a very long time. But during his visit, he surprised me very much when he observed that my facial expressions, my mannerisms, and even my attitudes and views were almost exactly like my father's. Well, like most fathers and sons, my father and I hadn't always exactly seen eye to eye. And to tell the truth, on more than one occasion, my father and I had what I think the diplomats call a frank exchange of views. In other words, we didn't quite come to blows. Well, upon reflection, I had to admit that my cousin was right, and that, come to think of it, the older I get, the more closely I resemble my father in all kinds of ways. And I think that's what's called the parents' revenge. The truth, of course, is quite simple. We are indeed our parents' children, for better and for worse, a chip off the old block, like father, like son. Well, by now you may be wondering what on earth all this has to do with the gospel just read, which is a fragment of our Lord's increasingly bitter conflict with his enemies. Well, that conflict, in fact, revolves around the question of fatherhood and sonship. Who, in fact, is Jesus' father? Who, in fact, is father to Jesus' enemies? Like father, like son, for better and for worse. We find in Holy Scripture that the Lord Jesus unceasingly speaks of God and of no one else as his Father. He unceasingly prays to God as Father. And all his teaching and all his praying rests in his oneness with the Father. In the upper room on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus plainly says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And in the letter to the Hebrews, from which the epistle for this Sunday is taken, we find words which speak wonderfully of Jesus as the shining forth of God's splendor, the very image and likeness of the Father. Our Lord's enemies claim that Abraham is their father. Abraham, who lived 2,000 years before the coming of Christ, trusted God and was obedient to God, even when, as we heard in the Old Testament lesson for this Sunday, God called on him to sacrifice his own dear son, Isaac, that son through whom God had in fact promised to bless him with descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven. Abraham's faith is truly beyond all understanding. St. Paul speaks of Abraham's faith as faith in God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. Like Abraham, who was ready to sacrifice even his own dear son, Jesus lives in unwavering trust and obedience to the Father, praying even in the face of his impending crucifixion, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Although Jesus' enemies claim Abraham as their father, their ancestor in faith and obedience, their deeds belie that claim. Jesus said to them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and in faith he saw it and was glad." But Jesus' enemies are filled only with hatred and murderous thoughts when the fulfillment of Abraham's longing stands right there in front of them. They can neither rightly see nor hear him, but in fact reject him and wish to destroy him as a threat to their self-sufficiency and their power. St. John tells us, then they took up stones to throw at him. No wonder the Savior said to them in great sorrow, "You are of your father, the devil." The devil and his many minions, who can never create goodness, but only strive with all their might to damage and destroy all that is good. This is a terrifying scene, enacted not just on this one occasion, but repeatedly throughout our Lord's life here on earth, and indeed repeatedly daily until the end of the world, summed up in what I often think to be some of the saddest words in all of Holy Scripture. St. John writes, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So how is it with you, with me? Who is your father? Who is mine? Whose children are we? Anyway, to be sure, through the waters of holy baptism, the Father in pure mercy adopted us as his own dear children for Jesus' sake, because the cleansing power of the baptismal waters is the power of Jesus' blood. Through holy baptism, we have become children of the Heavenly Father. Jesus said to his enemies, the one who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So do we hear? Preaching on these words of Jesus almost 1,500 years ago, St. Gregory the Great had this to say: "Let each one of you then ask whether this voice of God has become loved in your own heart, and then you will know if you belong to God. For there are some who do not bother even to listen with their bodily ears. And some do listen to God's words, but do not lay hold on them with any desire of their soul. And then there are some who freely receive God's words and are even moved to tears by them. But when their tears are dry, they go back to their evil ways. Those who take no thought to put them into practice do not in truth hear the word." Honesty surely compels us to admit that we in fact fall short in all kinds of ways. And if you doubt that that is so, just think of Jesus' words when he says of Satan, "There is no truth in him." When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources because he is a father, a liar, and the father of lies. So ask yourself, just how honest am I? Just how truthful am I in my dealings with others? And yes, how honest am I with God? Can we deny that we're involved in all kinds of dishonesty, even with ourselves, and worst of all, with God? When we truly see ourselves as we do in confessing our sins with God or during private confession, we see just how far short we in fact come. It's not a pretty picture. And if this were all we could see, we could only despair. But thank God that's not all we see. For with eyes of faith, we, like Father Abraham, see Jesus. Jesus, our merciful and faithful High Priest, in whom alone is all our hope. who once for all offered himself for us on the altar of the cross, and now eternally pleads the merits of that finished sacrifice before the Father's throne in heaven. And at the altar here on earth, truly gives us his holy body to eat and his precious blood to drink. Himself the victim, himself the priest, the person cleansing from all our sin, the sure pledge of salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things.